Welcome to Next Talk, powered by Compass Group. We're discussing how today's climate will impact the future of on-site food service. Bringing together the most innovative thought leaders, this series will explore how we adapt to the new normal, contribute to a successful outcome, and help lead the industry for the long term. Joining us today on Next Talk is Mark Rampolla, who launched Zico Beverages, one of the trailblazers of today's $8 billion coconut water category and co-founder of Power Plant Ventures, which invests in plant-centric companies that deliver better nutrition in more sustainable and ethical ways. Also with us is CEO of Compass's Envision Group, Susie Weintraub. Welcome.
Great to have you with us, Mark. Your perspectives and insights were so well received by the entire executive leadership group. And given your expertise as not only an investor, but also an entrepreneur and an innovator, we thought that now would be the perfect time to kind of get back together with you to get your perspectives on kind of, you know, where we're at today and certainly your views on what the new normal will look like. So we really appreciate you carving out some time for us today to record this podcast. So thank you.
You're welcome. Happy to be here, Susie. And I've been a big fan of what you are doing at Compass Group and the way you've innovated over the years and happy to share some ideas and learn a little myself.
Awesome.
Well, with that, let's get started because Mark, you have certainly never shied away from uncharted territory. In fact, that's where you've found a lot of most of your success and where a lot of us find ourselves right now. So what immediate changes are you seeing in the current environment as it relates to how food companies are pivoting to adapt?
What's fascinating for me to see in our world, now our world is, let's call it emerging growth companies, right? So we look at sort of the companies that are past the startup phase, but haven't exactly scaled to a massive level yet. For those companies, typically they're in hypergrowth. You know, they're growing 50, 100 plus percent per year or more. It's generally been okay and sort of expected that they can lose money because they're sort of balancing that and investing forward for growth. The number one thing I've seen in the last 6 weeks with these companies and many that we speak to is the good ones are radically building their business from the bottom up to either become cash flow positive or drive the cash flow positive more quickly. And that entails really everything. They are changing the way they're structured. They're changing the way they invest. They're thinking about their partnerships in totally different ways. They're driving for efficiency in any way they can find it. And that's, you know, it sounds probably typical in normal course of business for the large corporations like Compass Group, but these companies were so obsessed with growth, those just weren't the requirements. But cash in a crisis, cash is king and cash flow is queen. And so those two combined just force these companies to, you know, not rely on that external financing, know that they need, you know, 8, 10, 12 months, 18 months to ride out this crisis and put themselves in a better situation. The second one I'd say is they are figuring out where consumers are. And so they're trying to find them and reach them where they are, which as we all know is pretty much home, right? It's not in office, it's not in school. And that requires a lot of pivots. You know, most of these companies have been heavily relying on the natural food industry, some to a lesser extent on food service, but the food service industry has obviously been very challenging right now. And even the natural foods and grocery industry, although it's doing well, it creates a lot of challenges particularly with reduced foot traffic. So what these companies are doing is predominantly turning to e-com, but it's not as simple as, you know, revving up your own website or going to Amazon. Yeah, the good ones are really thinking creatively about how to reach consumers, how to engage with them, how to solve a problem.
It's interesting, right? A lot of the concepts that you talked about from these young companies are experiencing are very much parallel. I think a lot of what we as a larger company are experiencing, right? It is a matter of looking at how do we swiftly pivot to adapt to the existing circumstances. And a lot of that is forcing us to look at digital and mobile solutions and how we adapt our business model to accommodate those digital and mobile solutions. And what do we need to do on the back end to make sure that we're ramped up from an operational perspective as things start to come back, to really move much more towards in that direction than maybe what we have been before. I think we're seeing kind of a massive acceleration of digital and mobile. Our industry has been somewhat slow to adapt to it for whatever reason. But, you know, I do think that whole concept of pivoting and pivoting quickly is certainly something that we're seeing in our industry also. You also mentioned, you know, kind of reaching consumers and consumer demand. And I would be very curious, I mean, and again, with the same challenges, right, with regards to reaching consumers, how are we staying in communication with our clients and our end user consumers, reassuring them that when we do come back, all of, you know, the safety and sanitation practices that we've had in place will be amplified even more so as everybody's coming back into these spaces. At the same time, consumer demand, this is something that, you know, the spaces that you're typically investing in, I know that, you know, a lot of plant forward and plant based, do you see that kind of interest in that space continuing in the short term? Or do you think that's going to be more of a, we kind of got to ride it out for the short term, but this is going to be really big when we come back in the long term?
We are seeing a real interest in health and wellness foods, a real interest in dense nutrition, a real interest in high quality food that's traceable and people kind of understand and can point to and understand where it comes from. Now, you know, at the same time, you know, we're pragmatic and we talk to major strategic food companies and understand at the same time, comfort food is up, right? People are turning the food they've loved forever. That's high caloric count. Maybe it's not the most nutritious and healthy, but it's comforting in a time of stress. And so, we do recognize that, you know, over the long term, we think this trend is very legitimate. We haven't seen it fall off in the short term, but when we think about when we do get back to normal, or let's call it a next or new normal, that consumers on the margin are going to be very interested in not only, like you mentioned, the safety of their food, who's touching it, how's it being handled, but thinking about that all the way back through the supply chain. And so, you know, obviously we are plant-centric in our focus, but we're also looking for great companies that are well-run, that have really clean labels, that have good, simple ingredients, and are transparent in their supply chains. And so all of those things we believe are long-term trends. You know, we do happen to believe that you know, on the margin, we think that the plant-based movement's only going to grow. And we're seeing that and hearing that, and you know, you can see some of the breakout brands, you know, of last year, Beyond Meat and others, that, you know, aside from their food service side of their business, are doing really fantastic in this environment, and we think that's going to continue.
I would agree. I mean, based upon, you know, what we're seeing, and obviously we tend to be a little bit in a more reactive mindset as it relates to, you know, what consumers are asking for. So as demand grows in the mainstream with the mainstream consumer, you know, that's when we start to really feature more of those, the plant-centric, plant-based items on our menus. And I do believe that, to your point, it may be a little bit more about comfort foods now for the short term. But I think that we're aligned with regards to people are going to be looking for foods that boost their immunity, foods
Absolutely.
With benefits, that give them more energy, that give them clarity of thought.
Absolutely.
Those types of things. So, you know, as we're really looking at what reopening looks like, it sounds like we should be staying the course and kind of literally baking those things into our reopening plans.
I think you all play a critical role in, and it's part of your value proposition, right? To help your companies, your customers think about their end consumers and what's their productivity like, right? And so as you can start to help people think about and understand that, yeah, look, you can have your comfort food, but, you know, having some healthy, you know, vegetables, having some, you know, whether it's our products or others, right? Just good, deep, dense nutritional food is going to, you know, help them be productive, right? And whether that's, you know, not on the preachy side, but I think people are going to become aware of that. Like, we're hearing people talk about that I never would have expected before, both on the consumer base and, you know, families and some small research we do. You know, people are thinking about nutrition in ways I think they never did before, particularly around immunity.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, it was interesting. I was listening to a podcast over the weekend that was talking exactly about that. But it's not, people are just being much more mindful of what they're putting into their bodies and more intentional about what it's doing. And again, it may be, yeah, you know what, you kind of take a step back and I just need comfort foods right now. But I do think, you know, the long-term impact will be, and again, from my personal perspective, hopefully be that it will encourage people to be more mindful, not only of their own personal health, but the health of the communities and ultimately the interconnectedness of that with the health of the planet.
I think the food with benefits is, you know, kind of how we frame it, but I think that's one great example. But as we rebuild, Mark, do you think what's happening now could be a catalyst for change in some other areas?
The world is going to be different. And I can only imagine, you know, how you are thinking it from your lens, but we certainly recognize there is going to be a shift in the way we work, right? And does that mean people aren't going to go to offices? Of course not. But on the margin, will some companies allow people to work at home more often? You know, will they allow them to encourage them to travel a little bit less? So does that balance out? Maybe less travel, more time in office, but more time at home, right? People are going to be having, you know, Zoom is the new standard, right? So, you know, what does that mean for meeting places and the way people eat and the way they have shared lunches and what are the catering opportunities associated with that? The usage occasions, the way people learn about food, the trends they follow, you know, the influencers they've picked up and during this time at home and obsessed with social media are going to carry through. I do think we get a lot of questions and find people talking a lot about sourcing, where the ingredients come from, what's their exposure to, you know, foreign countries. I think there's on the margin, there's going to be a little bit of a bias towards domestic sourcing of foods. And Susie, you know, you mentioned it. I think this one's going to take some time, but we're certainly hearing a lot of people see the effect in the environment, right? They're seeing clean air, clean water, you know, less traffic. I think that's going to permeate. And I don't know exactly what people do with that in their purchasing decisions yet. But all of those are going to be, I think, catalyze change. At the same time, people are going to want to get back to their lives and they're going to want to enjoy things. They're going to enjoy life. So I think you're going to have this sort of bifurcation in a way of, you know, comfort, joy, family. And then you're going to have, you know, health and wellness and obviously cleanliness being top priorities.
We're really thinking about it, I think, in a lot of similar ways, right? Because we are also saying, hey, there's not going to be this, you know, today it is how it is, tomorrow it's going to be 100% of people are going to be back to work.
Right.
It's going to be a gradual process whereby we may get 15% of the critical workforce that needs to be on site back
right.
within, you know, 30 to 60 days. And we're really thinking, okay, if that is our reality, right, what are we going to do to continue to build our business?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe we have to change our business model a bit.
Absolutely.
Maybe we have to think about delivering to drop-off spots, delivering potentially even to consumers' homes.
Yes.
Producing out of our kitchens, but, you know, just changing things up a little bit more to accommodate what this new normal, be it, you know, midterm or potentially long-term, because I do think people have found a different way to work for the most part. And not that it's ideal, but they've done it and they have proven that we can do it. eventually, I do think people are going to want the connectedness that food gives them
sure.
in a workplace or a college campus. But it's going to take a while for people to really get comfortable and confident about being in a public or crowded space.
Right. Yes, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I think the most interesting thing to me is, you know, you're talking about redefining your business as, you know, not just an on-site food service provider, but really a delivering nutrition that fuels people that are going to rebuild this world. Right. We all want to get back to work. We need people to get back to work, and they need fuel. Right. It's going to be a big pivot. It's going to be a big learning occasion. But but people are going to eat. Those calories are going to go somewhere. Right. Your challenge is to hold on to as many of them as you can.
Exactly. And it's funny. We always say, hey, at the end of the day, people have got to eat. So we're relatively secure in that regard. We just might have to your point, pivot our model a bit to be able to accommodate what we need to accommodate in the short term.
Well, I love this, though, because you're thinking of, you know, different revenue streams and really just trying to challenge ourselves. We ask us constantly, like, what is next? Mark, is there anything that you would say to compass, like, ways that we need to shift our mindset and really just think about things differently when we are back open on the other side of this?
Yeah, you know, that first one would be that. I mentioned earlier, it's like, look, you're not only an on-site food service provider, you are fueling the people that are going to power this recovery. And that broad of a lens, I think, would probably help the thought process. The second I know your teams on the ground have unbelievable relationships with their counterparts in these companies. Help them. How are you helping them? Not just with their food, with anything they need. You know, is it logistics? Is it toilet paper? You know, it's stuff like, you know, God, could you imagine if you were early on had excess toilet paper that you could ship to people's homes? I mean, my God, what a service, right? You know, like thinking about them as people, them as, you know, family members, the families they're serving, you know, what problems are they facing as human beings and how can you help that? And then how can you help them? What are their challenges? Are they being pressured to cut costs? Are they being pressured to, you know, measure their results a little bit differently? How do you bring solutions to them that are ahead of the curve? And, you know, some of that might be, this technology that makes their life a lot easier. And, you know, the other thought I would have is about this idea of nutrition and productivity. You know, I can only imagine the complexity of this, but if anybody in the world can figure this out, it's you guys. How do you think about nutrition and productivity, right? Could you actually start to measure what people eat and how productive they are? Could you ping them during the day? Did they have a good lunch? Did they get something for breakfast? And, you know, ping them 3 or 4 times during the day and sort of measure their productivity to really get out of the discussion of you're just delivering meals to think about you're delivering, you know, productivity and you're delivering energy, you're delivering fuel that we all need.
Yeah, and I think that's a super compelling offer if we can figure out how to correlate the two. And we have been, you know, delving a bit into personalized nutrition platforms and, you know, talking with some potential partners in that space. And I do agree with you. I think there's something there. Quite honestly, we haven't figured it out yet, but I agree with you. If we can, you know, put some time, energy, effort into what that space can look like, even if it is a little bit longer term, that will yield some really big returns.
Yeah, and even if it's, you know, maybe on the investment side as well, right? I think, you know, you guys have an amazing pipeline of, I'm sure, brilliant innovators, not just in food, but in technology that are doing some of these things. Look, it's a pretty good time to make investments right now, right? You can, so, you know, do you focus on an area and partner with a tech VC that's interested in this area and, you know, really look at some companies that are exploring that? I think there's an opportunity to go on your toes and be aggressive. I'm sure there's going to be, you know, smaller food service providers that can't compete, don't have the balance sheet and cash flow and wherewithal you all do. And so I think we certainly are telling our companies there, for those that survive, there is going to be massive opportunities to thrive after this. If you manage your core business and then are opportunistic about places to grow.
We've been talking about, prior to the COVID situation, regenerative agriculture and biodiversity, and really starting to look at, you know, the impact that our current ag and farming practices have, and, you know, do we have a role and a part to play in how we rethink the ecosystem of food? And, you know, just in the little bit of work that we've done pre-COVID, we really think that, there's a big, big opportunity in that space for us to play a role. And I'd be curious, you know, as to your views. I know that you've done quite a bit of research and work in this space for probably a couple of years.
Yes.
And, you know, just to kind of connect maybe how you think, you know, we as a company could fit into that equation.
Well, that's music to my ears, Susie, as a human being and, you know, a fellow traveler on this planet Earth, right? Like it's, but I'm telling you, there's a business opportunity as well. So I fundamentally believe that that is our future, not just in agriculture, but believe it or not, across all business practices is to think regeneratively. But it's going to begin in agriculture. That's a massive problem and massive need societally. But there is a business opportunity as well. And so I would encourage you to continue on that path. What I'd say is right now, my assessment is there's, things may pause a little bit, right? There might be a brief slowdown in sort of the interest and demand for that. But farmers, technology companies, ag tech specialists, the movement is on and it is happening. What they really need is the marketplace. And, and you know, our lens tends to be brands. You know, the reality is these brands, you know, at the biggest, while they're in our portfolio, they might get to, you know, 100 million, a couple hundred million in revenue. That's challenging to move the needle, right, relative to what a Compass Group could do. And so the impact is massive. And we could talk for hours about that. And I'm certainly not the expert on it, but that's massive. But what I believe as well is you have an opportunity to differentiate yourself in an extraordinary way. Because you know, think about your audience. It's you know, I don't know exactly how your business is split, but a lot of college students, right? They're aware of this. They're thinking about this. They're talking about it. A lot of tech companies, right? A lot of millennial workers and employees. And so for you to begin to get ahead of that curve, talk about it, pick a vertical, a raw material, a grain, a vegetable, whatever it is. Really dive deep in it. Think about the regenerative supply chain. Celebrate that throughout there. You know, there may be some additional cost to that. Talk to your partners about sharing that that cost. Pass it on. You know, talk to the end consumers about that. It's a process, and it'll take some time, but the impact is huge. But I also believe it can be a real differentiator. If you had a truly regenerative, you know, supply chain, at least for some key products, when you sit down to talk with the corporations, you know, the sort of tech companies, corporations of the future that are trying to attract millennials to come work there, I think it'll be a differentiator. And my bet is 2021 will be the year that regeneration goes mainstream. So I think you're ahead of the curve. I applaud you for that. And I'd love to continue that conversation.
Absolutely. No. And as would we. I mean, obviously, it's a passion of yours. I can tell you it's quickly becoming a passion of ours. So and again, you know, we can't tackle the whole thing at once. But
no.
As we always say, big things start small. And if we could just pick, you know, one lane and work through the supply chain with one product or one category.
Absolutely.
And make it a reality. And then, you know, we start to build from there. I think it can be, to your point, a game changer.
I do agree with that.
We will definitely continue the conversation on
fantastic.
That.
Fantastic.
Well, and really, that's what Mark does, right? You continue to prove it's possible to make investors happy while also benefiting the health and well-being of the community. So for us to be join forces and be a part of that. And 2021, that's not that far off. So to think about it becoming mainstream with regenerative agriculture, I think that's really exciting.
I think we all have an obligation to you know, do our best to drive employment. And obviously that's ultimately the right things to do as fellow humans, but it's also in our own economic interest to get our economy going again. The larger system, I would say, is regeneration. The concept is, how do we build a more regenerative future, one that isn't based on extraction and destruction to create value, but it's based on regeneration. That when the concept of regenerative agriculture is, when you're done farming, the soil's better, the surrounding environment's better, you've actually, you know, made positive impact to the life system around it. That concept can be applied to everything, that we view our work, we view our lives as regenerative. How do we build more life, build more connectivity, build more resilience as we build our economy?
Well, we would like to close out each episode with a speed round as a way for our listeners to get to know you a little better. And Susie has already answered these questions on a previous episode. So, Mark, it is all you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What are you most excited about doing once social distancing is over?
Going to Italy. We need a trip and they need the visitors.
Very nice. Cinque Terre, that's my favorite part.
Love it.
What's something that you started doing during stay at home that you want to keep going?
Gardening. I've become obsessed with succulents, and I am determined to get all the orchids we bought pre-COVID to bloom again someday.
All right. Good luck with that.
Wow, that's ambitious.
Yeah, I know it is. I got one little shoot after I got probably 15 plants that I've accumulated over the months, and I got one little bloom finally.
And what would be your go-to right now? A puzzle, podcast, board game, movie, or a good book?
Wow, I'd have to say all of them. We finished a 1,500-piece puzzle in a couple days. We've been playing all sorts of games, Bananagrams and Boggle, other family favorites. We're all reading like crazy, and we're introducing each other to movies and Netflix series and podcasts. So yeah, we've really never been closer on a family front, which is really a blessing.
Well, thank you both so much for your time, and we truly look forward to navigating what's next together. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. And thanks so much, Mark. Really appreciate you carving out the time.
We want to keep this conversation going. Join us at compassgroup.podbean.com to listen to a new episode every week. If you have questions or a request, send them to envisiongroup@compass-usa.com. Until then, be safe and be well.